Hello, Brodies and Brodettes of the world. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 41 of Brody Sports Talk. I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself, and that is Captain Orange. Captain Orange, how are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. I am so glad to be here. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I just recently signed a new contract because everyone's signing new contracts this week.
Hey, I didn't hear that anyone was... Oh, it is the tampering period. I got the legal tampering period.
Yeah.
The two words that are very correct. Oxymoronically placed with each other. But that is okay. That is completely okay.
So I have agreed to sign somewhere else. But, you know, throughout this podcast, you could probably get me to come back to this podcast. You know... All I need is just one L, like a good Will, Will Lutz that I know oh so well. The kicker for the Broncos, who, you know, agrees with one team and comes back to the other.
There's at least one player that I feel like this has happened with every year during the tampering period. And usually it's after we record tampering. The podcast and say how much we... have thought they were going to be such a good fit with the new team, and then they're not with the new team. But that is okay.
I'm so glad that guy is going to this other team. He would be horrible on team that he was previously on. I hope he, you know, enjoys his time in new team, and he goes back to old team. It's so funny.
So just for the record, this is us going through and having reactions to some of the initial signings that have happened or rumored to be happened during the legal tampering period of the NFL free agency. We are going to go ahead and go through this with some positional consistency, because if you have been paying attention for roughly the last 36 hours before we started recording this on Tuesday, it's been crazy, y'all. So we are going to try to keep up with most of the interesting headlines, but I'm going to admit that I think I have more notes on this podcast than I've had for any podcast that I've ever potted before. And so it is a quite full pod today. Derek, do you want to tell the people what position they are going to hear first?
So we have a lot of love for the linemen. So we are going to start with the lines. And of course, with all things, we start with the offensive linemen that have made some signatures on some paperwork, or agreements to sign their signature on some paperwork as of yet.
Absolutely. So let's give some love for the linemen. And I'm going to just start by breaking down the headlines. So, Derek said offensive lineman. I'll go through the offensive lineman first. The Eagles have signed offensive guard Landon Dickerson. The Packers have released offensive tackle David Bakhtiari. The Giants have signed offensive guard John Runyon, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. The Rams have signed offensive guard Jonah Jackson, formerly of the Detroit Lions. The Carolina Panthers have gone out and signed two guards, Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. And the Patriots have re-signed one of their guards, Mike Onwenu. Switching sides of the ball, we did hear a big retirement from the Eagles again this week, as defensive tackle Fletcher Cox has retired. No more army crawl coming out of that Eagles backfield or when they get a sack, unless someone takes it up in his honor. The big guys that got signed to the big money, the Chiefs did sign defensive tackle Chris Jones, and then the Raiders went out in free agency and signed defensive tackle Christian Wilkins, formerly of the Dolphins. The Seahawks have also re-signed defensive tackle Leonard Williams, who they traded for last year. And then some new places for the Jets signing defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw and the Cardinals signing defensive tackle Justin Jones. Derek, now that we're through the headlines, where do you want to go with this?
So I want to look at those two Panther signings. So Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis going to the Panthers. So all last year, the major headlines for the Panthers was that they're going to need some help on the offensive side of the offensive line, because Bryce Young took a lot of sacks and was hurried quite a bit. And we can definitely see that they are investing in that position with a couple of guards. They're going to want to probably run the ball. You know, it's always good for, you know, for Chuba Hubbard, who's down there. We'll see what they do in the in free agency and in the draft for like any other running backs they may get. But you know me, I'm a big offensive line guy. I think that that's where your whole team needs to start. And so, you know, I'm glad to see that. I mean, I don't know what the Panthers are going to do. I'm hoping that Bryce Young is, you know, a franchise quarterback as he was drafted last year, and he actually has a good, you know, sophomore season. But it does look like the Panthers are putting the money where the mouth is and putting some guys on the offensive line.
I mean, the Panthers had to put some people on the offensive line. It was a mess there last year. And let me just go to the defensive side of the ball, because I've got to give it up for Christian Wilkins and his agent, because Chris Jones only got 5 years, $95 million out of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I would argue that Chris Jones is or was the prize free agent that would have happened. Now, granted, he did re-sign with the Chiefs to go for their three-peat before free agency officially opened. But Christian Wilkins getting one less year and an extra $15 million from the Las Vegas Raiders, which granted there is a little bit of a Raiders tax on that because you have to play for them. It's just very impressive by his agent to go out there and get those big bucks out there in Sin City. Did you have any kind of reaction to that? That's all in your division there, Derek.
Yeah, I'm glad that they are wasting money on a defensive tackle that they, I mean, they clearly don't have a team or anything like that. I can't say much because my Broncos are doing things that we'll talk about a little bit later on and wasting money as well. But, you know, one side being Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins coming from the middle there, you know, that's going to be a really, really big tandem in this division. You know, we'll see what Harbaugh can do in the Chargers to, with that, you know, we'll see what the Chiefs have that can stop that. I mean, people have been doing it for years now, trying to stop the Chiefs and figure out, you know, if that's the key to stopping the Chiefs, I guess they made good money.
I believe the word you're looking for is blueprint. They're trying to find a blueprint to stop the Chiefs.
This is very true.
Unfortunately, I don't think that those exist at this time. I'm going to go ahead and just take a moment and say that personally, I have a lot of respect for Fletcher Cox and how he played during his time in the league. So him retiring from the Eagles, it's just one of those things where, he and Kelsey probably went head to head in practice. I don't know how many times. And it makes me a little bit sad for the Eagles that they're going through such a transition this offseason and losing a lot of their veteran leaders on the field. I think that we will see this come back in a bad way. And I think that with how the Eagles kind of stumbled down the stretch last year, it's not a good sign to lose some of that veteran leadership. So I'm just going to put it out there, Derek. I want to see more from the Eagles because I'm concerned when you've switched coordinators again for the second year in a row and you lose big veterans like Kelsey and Cox. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so the Eagles are going to look different next year. We knew that was going to happen. Kelsey walking away, Fletcher Cox walking away, you know, doing a, you know, doing a really good job in, you know, being legends of the game in those spots. You know, it's hard when you have these guys go into free agency or whatever, and seeing them in a new uniform. And someone that I want to kind of highlight a little bit is David Bakhtiari. You're not going to bring up the Packers. I'm going to go ahead and bring up your Packers. So the Packers are releasing the tackle, David Bakhtiari. He was a staple of the offensive line during a good portion of Aaron Rodgers' time with the Packers. He's had some injury issues the last 3 years, which is what's triggering him being released at this time. A really good dude in the community, a very vocal proponent of the team, and you know, a glue guy that you would say is a heartbeat of the team. You know, stood up and you know, rallied the guys behind around him and behind him. So you know, we'll probably see him in another uniform. You know, he may not track a whole bunch of money, but because of the injury history. But I will say that I am gonna miss seeing David Bakhtiari in a Packer uniform.
I feel like I've missed seeing him in a Packer uniform for a few years.
That's true.
It's just been such an up and down thing where it's like, is he back? Is he healthy? And like we couldn't just keep up with the money that we were paying him. We were paying him Trent Williams money and getting zero on the field production. And you can't do that. So I think that it was the right move, even though it is a painful move. It is a business. Coming from the owner of the Packers, you know that that is as heartfelt as it can be.
That's very
Derek,
true.
Do you like to live life on the edge?
I do like to live life on the edge. We are a cutting edge podcast, so let's go ahead and talk about those edge players. So we have the Giants that are acquiring Brian Burns from the Panthers, an edge player, an edge rusher. Coming over from the Panthers for probably a box of Ritz crackers, it seems like. Not nearly what his worth is. The Vikings are signing Jonathan Grenard. They're also signing Andrew Van Ginkle. And then Shaq Barrett is going to the Dolphins. Marcus Davenport is signing with the Lions. Za'Darius Smith going to the Browns. Leonard Floyd is with the 49ers. Danico Autry is signing with the Texans. And Bryce Huff is signing with the Eagles. So, you know, new faces in new places. Let's start out with Shaq Barrett going to the Dolphins. I'm gonna highlight this one here. So if you look at the new players going to new places, a lot of those people are Dolphins going to new places. It seems that the Dolphins are losing a lot of guys. And we already talked about, you know, their Robert Hunt headed over to the Panthers. You know, and we'll have other guys that we'll talk about on here that was on the Dolphins. Oh, Christian Wilkins. That's who I'm thinking of. Christian Wilkins. Going to the Raiders. So a lot of people are going from the Dolphins to somewhere else. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, you have to bring somebody back in. And Shaquille Barrett is a really good player. I think that he's going to make an impact on that team. And I like this, you know, Miami is a good place to go to. I think I really like Mike McDaniel, like the coach. I think he's got a good culture down there. So, I like the signing for the Dolphins.
I'm going to go with one of the teams that double dipped here so far because the Vikings going out and getting Jonathan Grenard to a solid contract, which is pretty much going to be all 4 years of his prime, and then also bringing in Andrew Van Ginkle, who has familiarity. He was on the Dolphins, like you said. He has worked with Brian Flores and been a part of the Brian Flores defensive system before. And Flores is just going out there and getting people who are going to be able to rush the passer on the edge. And hopefully he will not have to send everyone on blitzes next season. Let's face it. The Vikings are going through a bit of a rebuild. We'll get into that more, I'm sure, as we talk on the podcast. But the identity seems to be good on defense, and they have been investing quite a bit there. Another one that came down late and didn't quite make the notes, Derek, the Texans also had a double dip. They got Denico Autry, who might be more of a depth signing, but then they also brought in Danielle Hunter, formerly of the Vikings. If you're going to tell me Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. are your primary guys and Denico Autry can come in rush occasionally, oh my goodness. The Texans are loading up, and let's face it, it's a D'Amico Ryans type of defense. He knows there's never enough pass rushers. I mean, he came from the 49ers, who, of course, are bringing in Leonard Floyd, among other people that they're coming to rush the passer. Floyd, I feel like, has been productive everywhere he's gone in his NFL career, by the way. And it's just the Vikings are getting some talent, and they're getting double dipping. The Texans are getting some talent. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this happens because, I mean, even that first one you mentioned with the Giants, they have Brian Burns. Well, we all know who they have on the other side. It's Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
They've had him there for a while. So it's going to be interesting to see how Burns and Thibodeau rush the passer together. Sorry, I feel like I talked about a bunch of those, Derek. Anything that you wanted to add or comment on?
Yeah, so the 49ers signing Leonard Floyd. So I'm thinking that Chase Young is probably moving on to somewhere else, and you have a Bosa over there. It seems to me somehow the 49ers are finding money where you would not expect them to find money. Signing Leonard Floyd, that's a good piece to a defense that certainly needs a spotlight. Let's put a spotlight on. They've done a really good job. They had some injuries last year, of course. You know, they lost a Super Bowl, I think that you have to get to the quarterback, and that's the first and foremost thing that happens in the NFL. Is that's where your bread and butter is. So I think this is a good pickup for the Niners and a well-placed piece.
That makes a ton of sense. I think that Floyd showing up in San Francisco, I feel like he's been on a ton of teams, but he just continues to go out and be productive everywhere he lands. Derek, should we go ahead and switch it up even more, maybe get off of the edge a little bit, and go ahead and back that contract up for these linebackers?
Oh, yeah. Let's go talk about some linebackers.
All right. So there's been a few big linebacker signings that have happened. The Steelers went out and got a division rival, signing linebacker Patrick Queen from the Ravens. The Titans signed former OU linebacker Kenneth Murray from the Chargers. The Dolphins went out and got Jordan Brooks, a former first rounder for the Seattle Seahawks. The Texans are having a bit of a reunion here as Azeez El-Shaair. He was on the Titans the last couple of years, but before that he was a 49er, so he knows D'Amico Ryans as well. And the Vikings went out and got a linebacker from the Texans, actually, Blake Cashman. To build up that defense. Like I said, the Vikings are doing a lot to work on that defense. Derek, from those headlines, which contract or which player do you think is the most interesting?
Okay, so with everything that is happening with the Steelers right now, Patrick Queen headed over to the Steelers from... He was with the Ravens, right? That's the same division.
Yeah. Division rival... Switching sides.
Yeah. It boggles my mind how you would go to someone that you absolutely hated just a few weeks ago. It boggles. I mean, he's a great player, and this is one of the best signings of the entire free agency first half. Let's call it first half. The he's he's a great player, and I think he would definitely fit in on that defense and make it just even more of a, you know, it makes it better. So I don't know what happened, why he's leaving the Ravens and going to a division rival, but you know, sign me up for these Steelers. Like, I can't wait to see what the black and yellow do next year.
I will say this. I just want to go on a bit of a tangent, Derek, because we see this a lot in free agency. We see this a lot where people go out and sign someone else that was on a team in the division. And I think that it's one of those things where there's a bit of a love-hate thing and respect that happens with this within the divisions, because the Steelers have had to face Patrick Queen just as much or more than anyone else has had to face him during his career, because he had been drafted by the Ravens. They know how hard it is to get past him, how he gets good tackles. They've seen him more on film. They go up against him more on a yearly basis. The other thing is that in taking him from the Ravens, you therefore have taken him away from your team that you face twice a year, and then get to have him on your team for those two games a year against that team. And it kind of is this almost like incentivized change where not only are you going to get to have a little bit of a different look and feel on some of those things, but it's also that you still have a lot of familiarity with some of your other opponents. Like, they still get to play the Browns twice and the Bengals twice. They're not having to rechange everything. But especially for Patrick Queen, like, the Ravens last year went and traded for Roquan Smith and gave him big money. So I think Patrick Queen was ready to say, hey, where's my payday coming from? And the Steelers were able to give it to him. So I thought that it was just a really interesting and unique example. But also wanted to dive in a little bit on that divisional signings thing, because especially when we talk about running backs in the NFC North, it's a little bit chaotic now. And I think that it's something that I wanted to address somewhere on the podcast. I just got started on it early.
Yeah, there you go. Who are you highlighting on this list of great linebackers?
So, I mean, we've got, I think that in general, when we saw the Dolphins kind of fall apart towards the end of last year, I want to see what they're doing and how they're rebuilding on that defense with Jordan Brooks. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what comes together, because, you know, it used to be the Flores system, and then, you know, they went and got Vic Fangio to run the defense, and that didn't really turn out. And now they're losing a lot of inside help. They've got Shaq Barrett on the outside. They've got Jordan Brooks on the inside. You know, is Brooks someone who's going to be able to get a lot of those tackles? Is he going to be the primary play caller inside that defense? You know, are you running Shaq Barrett on one side and Bradley Chubb on the other? I want to know how all of this kind of really turns out for those Dolphins. They've been trying to make this push for playoff runs, and I feel like they keep making big swings and not quite getting there. I don't think that getting Jordan Brooks is what someone would say is the biggest swing of free agency by any means, but I do think that it was a good signing, and I'm curious to see, like, I need to see how all of this fits on that defense.
I agree with you on that. I think there's definitely going to be some fun in training camp to see where some of these guys that we've already talked about, where they fit in with their teams, where they fit in with like the styles of the coaches. So it's going to be fun. I definitely like where we've headed so far. This first wave of free agency has just been like really good the last couple of days. It's been a lot.
Oh, it's definitely been a lot.
Yeah.
And it's been that way in a good way. Let's go ahead and switch it up from those linebackers. And let's go to some players that are secondary to no one. We're going to the players that are the corners and safeties, because they're trying to stop the pass catchers. They have a lot of chaos trying to get it done. Definitely not what I would probably call the hottest or biggest market in this free agency, but an intriguing one nonetheless. So first things first, my Packers went out and signed Xavier McKinney of the New York Giants. He's a safety. It's one of the few times I've been like, the Packers are signing someone on like the first day of free agency. What on earth is this? It's not a feeling I'm used to feeling, Derek. Unfortunately, there was some cuts, though. The Panthers cut safety Von Bell, and the Broncos cut safety Justin Simmons. The Rams did go out, though, and signed cornerback Darius Williams. And the Lions acquired cornerback Carlton Davis from the Bucks in a trade. The Titans signed cornerback Chidobe Awuzie from the Bengals, which, I mean, they've got a coach from the Bengals. It's a good move, I think. The Texans have signed cornerback Jeff Okuda, and the Cardinals went out and signed cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting. Derek, lots of things happening. I'm sure that this is not all the news in this area. What do you want to talk about? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, so I am going to the sneaky signing that I think is going to do the most, and that's going to go to the Cardinals, signing Sean Murphy Bunting. This is a good pickup for a guy that I think fits into their system pretty well, and has some experience, and can bring that to the team. I think that, you know, there's a lot of rebuilding that we're seeing, like, hey, these guys are picking up these guys, and, you know, the Panthers are doing a lot, all that kind of stuff. It's always like the guys that are, oh, we got this one guy that, you know, like the little bitty, like, okay, we've only signed two guys in the first couple of days or agreed to it. And that could mean one of two things. Either the team just really stinks and no one's going there, or they're choosing the guys that they want and making those signings count. And for me, the signing of Sean Murphy Bunting is a touchdown, a slam dunk, a home run, if you will. Let's mix our sports metaphors for the Cardinals. I like this signing a lot.
So I think it is interesting. So if we're just to continue about Sean Murphy Bunting,
yeah,
I think that he could likely show up there and be their best cornerback in Arizona. He's going to be probably going up against the likes of Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf. There are some good wide receiver ones in that division. So I think especially getting this, and hopefully that it is right for the Cardinals, is just a nice, smooth spot for them here. I've got to talk about the Packers, though. So you knew it was coming. I'm probably going to bring them up more times than I really should. But bringing in Xavier McKinney to that defense, what a game changer. It seems like, they're losing Darnell Savage in free agency. Jonathan Owens also actually signed with the Chicago Bears before we got on to record. Goodbye, Mr. Simone Biles. I will miss you. But Xavier McKinney coming in from the Giants, it just feels good. And it feels good to have people that are wanting to come to Green Bay, wanting to see what we're doing and have a belief in our new young quarterback. Like, yes, the money is good, but I feel like in general, part of why we didn't see some of this last offseason was, one, we were still trying to get Aaron Rodgers out the door. And two, people didn't really know if they trusted the Jordan Love offense. And I think this is a sign that Jordan Love is getting some respect around the league. Do you think I'm going too far with this on the Xavier McKinney signing, Derek? Or what do you think about this?
No, I think it's a really good move for the Packers. I think we're going to see a completely different Packers team next year than we did this year. I think this year was, let's call it a hangover year. Like, okay, what do we have in Jordan Love? You know, where is he in his progression? What do we have at running back? What do we have at receiver? You know, and the defense, which has held together the last few years as being the best part of the team. Now we see what this team really is, and now we're taking out some of the old guard, and we're moving to be a little bit younger. So I think the Packers are showing that now. Okay, this is who we are, who we're going to be moving forward, and they have to really go after, because that division is not getting any easier with Detroit being there, and you know, who knows what Chicago is going to do once they get presumptively their new quarterback.
Derek, do you want to add anything about the Broncos releasing Justin Simmons? I know that I feel like we've been Simmons truthers on this podcast for a while. So consistent. I believe we put him on the team of the 20 so far a few weeks ago. What do you want to say about Justin Simmons?
I don't think it's fair. I don't like it. I don't think it's I know it's not a good move for the Broncos. I think the Broncos are clearing out everybody who has any kind of money or is worth anything, because they're not going to be good. They know it for the next three to five years. I mean, the money that they have on the books for a former quarterback, I don't know what their plan is. So I think they're just saying, hey, Simmons, go find yourself somewhere good, because no one's going to trade for you, because they know that we're in dire straits. So, you know, get your money off of our, you know, as much your money off of our books as possible, and let's move on. You know, I wish him only the best, and I wish him, thank you for all that you've done for the city of Denver and for the team. And you know, I like good players on the Broncos. And I want to re-up something I said last week. I'm looking for a new team. I'm looking for someone to bandwagon, because the Broncos are breaking my heart. And I don't think they know how to NFL anymore. So our listeners need to get into our tweets or DMS or something. Help me find a new team. You know, tell me what new team I need to follow and why. And I would be forever grateful.
I am going to start a bracket on that shortly, Derek. I am going to do that. I'll tag you in it. We'll see what kind of pleas or comments or anything like that we get as far as responses to that are concerned, because we've got to get another team for Derek to cheer for in the 2024 season, other than one that is coached by a guy that has two first names. You know, you can't trust people with two first names. Sean Payton, two first name guy, got to get out of there.
You really do.
So
can I move on and catch some attention to the guys who are going to catch the balls from who are certainly absolutely not going to play in Denver. So just to go down the headlines here, T. Higgins, who last week for the Bengals was a franchise tag, he is requesting a trade. The Browns have acquired Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos for a bag of balls and a package of peanuts. The Patriots are signing Hunter Henry. Bengals are signing Mike Gillespie. Bears are signing Garrett Everett. Irv Smith Jr. is going to the Chiefs. Noah Fant heads back to the Seahawks. Colby Parkinson is signing with the Rams. Good pickup there. Chargers sign Will Disley. And then Kendrick Bourne is going to the Patriots. And Darnell Mooney heads to the Falcons. We'll talk about the Falcons here in just a little bit of time. But I'm tossing over to you first for the big news of the and your reaction to T. Higgins and his trade request. And then you can head on to any of the topics that you want to talk about in this one.
I mean, I think in general, it's just one of those things where the wide receivers in this class have not been breaking the bank. As far as contracts are concerned, we had a big salary cap jump this offseason. T. Higgins knows that he would be able to go out there and make some wide receiver one type money. He was brought in back in the 2020 draft. They didn't have a fifth-year option. They tagged him. They're trying to do what they can to keep the band together, before they have to back up the Brinks truck for Ja'Marr Chase, because we all know that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the one who ends up getting the big money, not T. Higgins. Now, I don't find it stunning that T. Higgins is requesting a trade. If someone would be willing to give up if you're giving up a fifth and a sixth for Jerry Jeudy, who, no offense to you, Derek, has felt wildly inconsistent in the NFL. I feel like T. Higgins, who, while he did have a down year last year, is definitely a fantastic wide receiver two, and could easily be a wide receiver one on several rosters in the NFL. It's just a matter of who's willing to go and give something up for him. I don't know who that's going to be. I'd love to see someone go and make a move for him. While I hate to say it, I think that this would actually be a sneaky good move for like the Detroit Lions. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I know they have Jameson Williams, who they traded up for quite a bit. But if you could have T. Higgins in that offense instead of like Khalif Raymond, boom, that's going to change things in a hurry. I just think he would make such a huge impact on so many teams that it's tough to even think of what could happen. It's just a matter of where will he go if he goes anywhere? Because I think that in general, you have to trade for him and then you have to pay him. Yes, we saw that happen for players like Tyreek Hill a few years ago. I respect you, T. Higgins, but you are not Tyreek Hill. No. So I don't know who's willing to make that move for a receiver right now. Do you have any teams that you think might be a solid fit for him?
Okay. I am full conspiracy theorist. I've got my foil hat on. What do you think the draft compensation would be for T. Higgins? Do you think it's a team that needs a number one receiver that you have to have? Do you think, what, a second round pick? Do you go third?
I think second would be the highest anyone would go. I think it's more likely going to be a third.
Okay.
Because then you're going to have to pay like a... It's easily going to be like a $100 million contract or more that you're paying out to T. Higgins after you bring him in.
What if you could rent him for a year? And you really didn't. I mean, you need your draft picks, but you're not that bad. What if you're the Chiefs? What if you say, hey, buddy, we're going to give you a second round pick for T. Higgins, number one guy. And now they make another run and say, hey, T. Higgins, we're going to sign you for just a couple of years. You're going to get a chance to come here. You're going to get a chance to learn under Andy Reid. You're going to play with Patrick Mahomes. You know, Kelsey is probably in his last 3 years. You're going to take a little pressure off of him. And yeah, you've got some receivers that you're trying to develop. But do the Chiefs really need their pick this year? They just came off a Super Bowl. It's low anyways. You know, if you give them a second and a, you know, fifth or sixth or something like that for someone like that, and then sign him to a small contract, everybody on the Chiefs redoes their contract every year. Patrick Mahomes just did it again to get rid of like $21 million off the cap. He's still getting his money. Go see if you can win a Super Bowl with the best team in the NFL the last 2 years, and then your draft, and then you get another chance in a couple of years to jump back into the wide receiver pool as truly a number one.
I hear what you're saying, Derek. I just think that it's one of those things where I think T. Higgins is ready to get paid. And I think that it's a matter of getting paid and potentially being a wide receiver one. I know they just traded picks, so I don't know that they would have much more to give up. But if somehow, like, the Giants were able to make a move for him, he would easily be the best wide receiver in that wide receiver room over Hyatt, Slayton, and Robinson. I just don't know that I see the Giants ready to make that kind of a move. So I don't know. I don't know where this ends up going. And I think that that's part of where my issue is I think they would rather not trade T. Higgins to the Chiefs, even if the Chiefs were offering a first. I just think that they would be like, we don't want to help you out because we need to make a postseason run. We do not want you to make another postseason run. So it's a tricky one. It's definitely a tricky situation.
I'm just saying that if you, you're going to get money this year either way. But yeah, I think we, I've been on T. Higgins a little too long on this one. You know, the guy that I want to talk about here is Noah Fant. He came over from the Broncos in that, fateful, Seahawks trade with the Broncos for Russell Wilson, has done enough in the Seahawks for him to be part of the future of that team. And couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Goes out there and works really hard. Is a good receiver when it comes to in the tight end area. And plays in a really tough division with the Rams and with the Niners. Playing with the Seahawks is tough. So, you know, for me, I like Noah Fant in these receivers that we have here.
So I'm going to say something that I think might be a bit of a shock to some people, because I don't know that it's something that's jumping off the page for what people may have expected. But personally, I really do feel like the Irv Smith Jr. signing is a bit of a under the radar signing here by Brett Veach for the Chiefs. I know that it's been tough because he was hurt last year for the Cincinnati Bengals. And let's face it, the Bengals didn't have the season they wanted to have anyway. But he was solid at Alabama. He came into the league. His dad had played in the league. He's carried himself like a professional, and they just haven't been able to really, like, he was behind Kyle Rudolph with the Vikings, and then he was behind TJ Hawkinson, and, like, he hasn't had a chance to really shine. And let's face it, he's not going to get that in Kansas City, but I think he can still be productive. He came out and just hasn't had a good, healthy season and been able to show up as much as he wants. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a chance that that changes depending on how much more he's able to do things there.
It's a good pick. It's definitely a good signing. And I think that I do like those stories like that where you see a guy come in and who's been sitting behind somebody or really hasn't had their shot or a chance, and they step into it and they get it. They honestly, if you're going to the Chiefs, Andy Reid's going to find some way to get you the ball. And who knows what happens after that. You could be, you know, taking some snaps off of Travis Kelce and extending his career a little bit longer.
Very true. Well, Derek, one thing that I think you are aware of, as far as I'm concerned, is that while they may not always command the biggest money, I do love big running backs. I love seeing them run, be able to get down the hill and down the field and just really kind of make their jukes, their spins, get that excitement with a big long run. So there's been some headlines with running backs that have been signed. The Bears signed running back DeAndre Swift. The Titans went out and got running back Tony Pollard. The Packers splashed some cash and got Josh Jacobs. Oklahoma boy Josh Jacobs. We are an Oklahoma-based podcast. And the Vikings then signed Aaron Jones, which hurts. The Eagles have signed Saquon Barkley. The Giants turned around then and signed Devin Singletary. The Bengals signed Zach Moss and then traded Joe Mixon to the Texans to replace Devin Singletary. The Patriots signed Antonio Gibson. The Chargers signed Gus Edwards. And then the Ravens went out and got a king to put in their backfield next to the MVP, and that is Derrick Henry. I know he does not spell his name correctly, but Derek, any thoughts about Derrick Henry or any of these other running back signings that you want to just get the ball and run with?
Someone give me a good fullback. Let's start running some triple option in the NFL again. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. I think their fullback's name Ricard, I think it is. Let's just run some triple option. This is just not fair. The Ravens, you know, if they solidify their offensive line, like make sure everybody is there, everyone's playing it, they're going to run all over the NFL next year. I know the Derrick Henry, every year we say, okay, is this going to be the year that all those hits add up? Is this going to be the year that all those hits add up? Man, last year, Zay Flowers did some amazing things downfield. And if you can play action with Derrick Henry, and then have the two-time MVP Lamar Jackson run the ball and throw the ball, and what in the absolute goodness gracious is going on? How did the Ravens sign Derrick Henry? I do not understand it in the slightest, but I can't wait to see it. I do love a running team. I do love the ground and pound type of NFL teams, and this is just going to be that. I enjoyed watching Derrick Henry with the Titans. I didn't like it when he beat the Broncos or made them look silly, but it was a great thing. And now, I mean, what is going on with the AFC North? It is just great television all of a sudden. Like, the Bengals are going to be the Bengals. The Steelers are brand new. The Browns. And the Ravens, how can they not win the North next year? It's crazy.
So I think it's going to be really interesting because I think that the Ravens are really set up to run more of a Monken offense with this because you really can stretch the field vertically. You've got receivers on the outside, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor. You can say what you want about Agholor, but he is fast. You put Mark Andrews there at tight end. You put Derrick Henry in the backfield. You're running that 11 personnel as much as you feel like it. If you want to go bigger, you can put Isaiah Likely in and probably take Agholor off the field. But you're not worried about your ability to stretch the field. The main reason that you want to take Likely off the field is because you want Derrick Henry to have less people in the box. You want Lamar to have less people in the box. You want it to be easy for them to go out there and pick up 6 or 7 yards of carry. And then, if they do, Keaton Mitchell's going to be coming in. You know, he's going to be recovered from his injury, and he's going to be the lightning. I think that I talked about this last week when I was saying, where could Saquon sign? And I was like, if it's a thunder and lightning situation between Saquon and Keaton Mitchell, watch out. Well, you don't have Saquon. He's not as young, but you do have Derrick Henry, who arguably is probably a better goal line back and is bigger than Saquon Barkley. So it's spicy. I think that you're right, though, that the AFC North is going to be interesting. You know, Zach Moss is going there now. I don't know how that's going to work for the Bengals with Joe Mixon being out of the picture. But Zach Moss showed a lot with the Colts this past year, and I think it's good for him to get an opportunity. I've got to switch it up, though, and go to a little bit of my division here, Derek. Is that okay?
Okay. Yo, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So first, the first domino that I saw drop when free agency started was the Bears went out and signed DeAndre Swift, former Lions running back, former Eagles running back, to a contract. And I was like, huh, the Bears now have DeAndre Swift. The Lions have David Montgomery of the Bears. Okay, this is not going to be super weird when they play each other, that they're just kind of like rivals with each other. The Packers went out and got Josh Jacobs of the Raiders. Pretty big money for a free agent running back. 4 years, $48 million. To be fair, Jacobs is still really young and has been one of the top running backs the last 2 years. In doing so, Aaron Jones was 30 years old. They had been reworking his contract. It didn't work out. They end up releasing him, and he signs in the division with the Minnesota Vikings to, I believe it's a one-year, $7 million contract. I don't love Aaron Jones still being in the division. I have a lot of respect for him. I love the way he played the game with passion and with joy. And there's something about a green and yellow sombrero that just is always going to look right to me. And I'm going to miss it now because I hope he does not have purple sombreros all of a sudden, but I'm assuming he will. Like, the rivalries and the intensity when these teams are facing each other, where it's going to be, I took your job, and so I need to prove it. Or, you took my job, and I need to prove that I've still got it. Like, how weird it's going to be for NFC North battles this coming year is just chaotic and a little bit of fun. I think that it will be very exciting. And I guess if you want to talk about in-division battles, you could also talk about Saquon to the Eagles. So that's going to be probably more broadcast because it's that East Coast bias. But I love what's going on with these running backs.
Yeah, okay, so I'm hopping on the Saquon train only because our reporter in the field, Sean, is an Eagles fan. And this is so weird to me. That someone would sign to a team within the division. I get, you know, that money is money and money's green everywhere. But when you start your career in New York, you've played these guys twice a year. And then all of a sudden you're going to their, going to be on their team. I'm just hoping that Saquon learns how to push the shoulders of the guy in front of him and doesn't really care about scoring goal line touchdowns or anything like that, because he's going to have to run greater than 5 yards on any touchdown that he gets. He's never going to be a goal line guy. They're always going to go to their brotherly shove. And that's probably going to knock down a third of his rushing touchdowns. So I don't know if that is a best place for him, but they are set up for running back. And it surprises me so much how we hear over and over and over again that the running back position is not well established or not, you know, isn't paid well. And we're seeing guys get reportedly $8 million a year, $12 million a year, stuff like that, out of nowhere. And where, you know, sometimes you can't even get a guy for $4 million, $5 million, you know, a guy can't get that contract. So it's really weird to me how at the very beginning of free agency, we just have this run on running backs. And the only thing else I want to talk about in the running backs is Zach Moss an upgrade to Joe Mixon? Like, was there something there? Joe Mixon caught the ball out of the backfield a lot, was, you know, arguably a better receiver a lot of times than he was a running back. Coming out of the backfield or whatnot. Did all of us, is Zach Moss that much better in your offense than Joe Mixon And I guess Joe Mixon going to the Texans. It's a pretty good pickup for the Texans.
So I think part of it is just how much you're paying and how much is getting sent out. Joe Mixon was, even for the Texans, he's going to have a cap hit of $6.1 million. I know that the Bengals will probably be carrying a little bit of a dead cap with him still this coming year. But it's tough to pay a running back. Like, the Bengals are trying to get all the mouths fed all around. And if you look, Derek, they're one of the teams that we are not talking about outside of signing Zach Moss, trading Joe Mixon, and the T. Higgins trade issue. Like, it is not a happy time in Cincinnati right now financially. They do have some cap space now, but it's a matter of, I think, locking in some of their guys for longer term deals. You got to get Jamar Chase paid. You've got to be able to take care of things. And if you can save about half the money that you were going to pay Joe Mixon this year to pay Zach Moss, I think that it's okay. I don't think that anyone's like, oh yeah, I'm super excited about Zach Moss. But I also think Joe Mixon has a decent amount of wear on him the last couple of years. And so I think the Bengals may have been saying, you know, he wasn't the same last year without Samaje. We couldn't trust him to carry the load whenever Joe Burrow went down. Let's at least go get a cheaper option. But I don't think he's better.
I think you're dropping dollar bills to pick up pennies here. Like, oh, it's half as much for Zach Moss. Okay, well, you just save yourself $3 million. Okay, I understand that $3 million is another guy in your squad, and that's $3 million you can give to somebody else. But I think you're, not you in particular, but I think the Bengals are trying to outwit themselves.
I don't disagree. I think that it's one of those things where, like, Moss is finally getting off of his rookie deal. They thought he was going to be the back in Buffalo. He then was traded and was the back for several games in Indianapolis. And maybe there was a spark. Maybe there was something they saw that they said, hey, let's use him. And let's face it, he has a lot less wear on the tires.
That's true.
Like, you may be getting a downgrade. You're not having the luxury vehicle, but you're getting the vehicle that's still going to get you from place to place. But the engine isn't as beat up, and the tires look good. Like, you're still going to be happy driving back and forth to work.
There you go.
Probably it's an analogy. I don't know if it's one of my better analogies, but it's an analogy that I've definitely used on this podcast now. Derek, let's go to the quarterbacks. It's the last position that we have, and then we have a couple of teams to talk about here at the end, because they've just been splashing the cash, making it rain Pac-Man Jones style on their free agents. And we'll get to them in a second, but let's get to the quarterback news. And here's, of course, the headlines for the QBs. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Baker Mayfield is renewing his contract and staying with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. After he got cut last week, Russell Wilson has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then Gardner Minshew looks like he is getting starter money to go to the Las Vegas Raiders, and they are also cutting Jimmy Garoppolo. Which, I mean, Garoppolo was attached to McDaniels, so that does not stun anyone. And then what I'm going to call the second tier of quarterback news. These are the, what I will dub, background / quarterback competition signings, except for probably one of them. The Browns went out and signed Jameis Winston. The Vikings gave Sam Darnold a one-year, $10 million contract. The Jets signed Tyrod Taylor because the Zach Wilson experiment is over. The Patriots went out and signed Jacoby Brissett, so he is back on the roster again. And the Giants went out and signed Drew Lock, presumably to give Daniel Jones a quarterback competition between two quite mid quarterbacks, if I may say so myself. Derek, do you want to start with the big stuff, the small stuff? Where do you want to go on this quarterback news?
I'm going to start with the man who is going to destroy the Denver Broncos. We talked about the Steelers before. We talked about all the moves they're making. The Steelers are signing Russell Wilson. And oh my goodness, Russell Wilson, I bet he's going to make a bunch of money playing in Pittsburgh. Nope. He's making $1.1 million from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's making $38 million from the Denver Broncos for not playing them. Playing for them. I knew this was happening. They cut Russell Wilson, dead cap hit, all that kind of stuff. But this is the absolute best thing that you could have if you're the Steelers, because you have a guy that is cheaper than a first round pick. I think he's probably cheaper than a third round pick, with playoff experience in a building that has an established coach that actually keeps his players in line, in Mike Tomlin, some pretty good weapons, doing a lot with a team. And George Pickens is there. He's a number one guy. Najee Harris is there. He's a number one running back. Like, you've got everything that you need. You know, we'll see what Russell Wilson does this year, but I still think he's got plenty in the tank. I'm just so very upset that the Broncos are paying this man, you know, $38 million to play for another team.
Derek, I have to figure something out. I'm going to use my AI assistant here, ChatGPT, to figure something out. Can you tell me a little bit about who you think Russell Wilson's favorite target is going to be on the Steelers? It's not Deontay Johnson.
Not going to be Deontay Johnson. I can't think of anybody who would be his favorite target.
Do you think you'll like George Pickens?
Well, yeah, that's what I said a minute ago. Was George Pickens is there, and he's a really good receiver. I mean, that would be my number one, I would think.
Okay, maybe he'll like Pat Freiermuth as well.
I mean, yeah, Muth is a really good tight end. From what I've heard, Russell Wilson doesn't throw the ball over the middle, so. You know, maybe I'm completely wrong on that. I think that it's going to be a much more play action. You're just going to run the ball a lot more. They're going to get the ball out into bubble screens, stuff like that. But I think on the other side, you're going to be able to play that kind of stuff because you have plenty of options there, and you've got a good defense. So, yeah, I think this is a better chance than he had in Denver.
All right. So, it is the tampering period, so they can't make major announcements or anything like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and used ChatGPT to ask it to come up with 10 phrases that it thought it could generate that Russell Wilson could say now that he is not a member of Broncos country. So we've got to try these out. I'm going to try them out. And you tell me which one you like at the end. Okay, Derek.
Okay.
One, let's bring the trophy home, Steelers. Two, ready to make history, Pittsburgh. Three, here we go, Steelers Nation.
Okay.
Four, grind and shine, black and gold. Five, chasing greatness, Steelers. 6, victory for Steeler Nation. 7, our story starts now, Pittsburgh. 8, building something special, Steelers. 9, rise up, Steeler Nation. Or 10, terrible towel to new heights.
Well, you can't use the last one because new heights with the Kelce brothers and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what am I talking about? I mean, like, I think
Grind and Shine Black and Cold might be the best one. That totally sounds like something that that Russell Wilson would say.
Yeah, in very much the same tone that you had, like very flat and like non-peppy, of like he's reading it off of a cue card for the first time. I don't know. Are they Steelers Nation? Is that what they go by? Steelers Country.
That's apparently what they were using.
Okay.
I would almost say, because it's Pittsburgh, that you could say something like Yin Steelers, because they say yins instead of y'all like we do down here. Yin Steelers.
Yeah. Let's smelt. You know, like something like wave the terrible towels or like go Steelers. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be go Steelers.
Let's forge our future.
Why are you better than ChatGPT?
I needed to use it for inspiration. I needed to use that for the inspiration. Let's forge the future, yins.
Yeah. Let's go to the major signing. I want to talk about the Kirk Cousins to the ATL. This is really big because I think the Falcons have been sandbagging the last 3 years just for something like this to happen, because they got Bijan, they've got Drake London, they've got Kyle Pitts, like, that they never used any of those guys when Arthur Smith was there. But, you know, they got Kirk Cousins now, and all of a sudden, this Falcons team could be very wiry. You know, I like the Bucks in that division, but, you know, getting the ball into those playmakers' hands, we might actually see a Kyle Pitts touchdown. You know, he might actually get more than a few yards in a season. It would be very nice for a actual quarterback to be, I mean, no harm on Desmond Ridder, but it doesn't seem like the guys that they had were the answer. And, you know, maybe we put them back into the Toy Story game that they were in last year with the Jaguars and, you know, see what happens now. Great for Zach Robinson, former Oklahoma State quarterback, now offensive coordinator in Atlanta. You know, you come in and you just got, you just hit the mother load to have the best quarterback in this cycle. But I will say, I mean, we all know about Andrew Brandt, the business of, you know, NFL business, Hall of Fame, type of guys. If I ever get into the professional leagues or whatever, I am literally going to structure my contracts where I am the best guy every time that we have, like, there's not going to be a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady who's going to re-sign or a, you know, well, of course, those guys are long retired, but like having a Patrick Mahomes or something like that, like where I'm not landing on the same times they are, because Kirk Cousins is just going to make a bunch of money every time that he's a free agent. Because he turns out he's like the best guy in his year. I don't know how he did it or how it fell that way, but between the Commanders and then the Vikings and now the Falcons, the dude's made some money.
He has. He really has. I will tell you that I was double checking this, Derek. He is only 2 years younger than Zach Robinson. So It will be interesting to see how all of that turns out for him.
What?
No, he's only 2 years younger than Zach Robinson.
He is two years younger than Zach Robinson. That is one. I didn't realize how old Zach Robinson was, but that is absolutely crazy to me that.
That Kirk Cousins is in the league wearing random chains and dancing on planes and making $180 million over the next 4 years. Yeah. And Zach Robinson is coaching him. Also, while I was double-checking that, Zach Robinson's Wikipedia says career highlights and award. Super Bowl champion as a coach, as a player, 2007 Insight Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Zach Robinson.
Yeah.
So I'm double checking. It says here between his 12 seasons so far in the NFL, Kirk Cousins has made $231 million. The fact that he is set to, in the next 4 years, almost double that is mind-blowing. Kudos to you, Kirk. You're getting your payday. And I agree with you, though. This completely changes this offense. This completely changes probably who I'm taking to win in the NFC South, because while Carolina is trying to do things, Atlanta has not had a reliable quarterback at all. I mean, the Mariota Ritter Heineke experiment during the Arthur Smith years was a joke. And I mean, Matt Ryan was not good at the end of his career. So Kirk Cousins getting there, I think they said, we've got to have someone. And he's going to be there. Zach Robinson's going to get to coach him and put the plays on the field for him. And Darnell Mooney out there catching. Drake London will be catching as well. Can you actually use some of these players that have been top 10 picks? You know, London, Pitts, and Bijan. You have the talent there. The line is pretty good, too. It's just a matter of going out there and getting it done. So it's also a question probably of how good the defense will be, but that will be for Raheem Morris to figure out. Well, we don't have to worry about that today.
Yeah, we're certainly going to find out when it comes to the defensive side of the ball what they have. Just a quick little recap of what we're looking at here. Some of these other guys, Gardner Minshew going to the Raiders. I don't know what the Raiders are going to do at quarterback moving forward, or if he's going to be a bridge guy. He did a really great job at Indianapolis last year. Good on him. Jameis Winston going to the Browns. That doesn't make any sense to me. I know that they have some trouble and some injuries on their team, but you pulled Joe Flacco off the couch. You couldn't make sure that you had a backup quarterback differently there. I mean, Jameis Winston's a starter level guy. And I thought he would, I thought he would still be with the Saints. Vikings taking Sam Darnold. I like KOC doing just about anything. Kevin O'Connell is a great offensive coach. Maybe he breathed life back into Sam Darnold. Let's hope. Maybe we'll see what happens.
So I'll say this, Derek, and this is kind of my interesting or spicy take about the draft. With the players that got signed, like, the Bears haven't moved Fields yet, so we don't know where he's going. But the Patriots went out and got a guy who I would say is generally a backup, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Commanders in a little bit. I think that in general, we are set to see the quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3 in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two neediest quarterback teams, as far as the positions, after Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta and Sam Darnold signing with the Vikings, are the Vikings and the Broncos, who have picks 11 and 12. And it's who's going to give up enough to go get the McCarthy Knicks guy that you want so that you can build your team around him. I'm not sure who is considered the fourth quarterback in this draft. It could be Rattler, it could be Penix, but I feel like I'm hearing a lot more of McCarthy lately. You know, can Arizona be a beneficiary and trade down and get some more picks? I don't know what it's going to be, but I feel like there's two teams that are jockeying to move up and probably won't want to stay at 11 and 12. Even if it gets to 10 in the draft, I would expect the Broncos to leapfrog the Vikings. It's just a matter of who's moving up, what are they giving up, and how quickly do they lock that in? Can they lock it in by going all the way up to 4? I think that it's a good move for the future of either team to be that desperate for the fourth best quarterback in a draft class. And I'm not excited about Sam Darnold or Jarrett Stidham season for either of those teams.
Yeah, I am a little bit lost when it comes to, you know, like, do we sit there at 12 and pick up a Bo Nix? Like, I think that he'd be good in the Sean Payton offense. You know, does JJ McCarthy go there? Will they trade up to get into that, or you know, is there going to be a Vikings Broncos like leapfrog kind of thing that they're trying to get to? Like, you know, the Vikings have to get to this guy and the Broncos are trying to get there, and you know, now you're paying too much for that pick. I don't like it.
That's fair. Well, let's switch it up, Derek. Let's go to two teams that have signed a ton of people in free agency so far. And I'm going to start by going to the Jaguars, as they are stealing everyone. The emphasis on teal, because they are the Jaguars. They went out and signed center Mitch Morse, who had been cut by the Bills. They acquired Mac Jones to be a backup for Trevor Lawrence for a sixth round pick. They also have signed Gabe Davis at wide receiver, Devin Duvernay at wide receiver, and got some help in the secondary with Ronald Darby and Darnell Savage. Man, the Jaguars are changing it up a ton. Derek, do you like this? What intrigues you about all of this?
I want to see what Mac Jones can do in the preseason. That is going to change everything for me, because every year, the last couple of years, the Jaguars have been buyers. They brought in guys, they brought in receivers, and unfortunately Trevor Lawrence gets hurt or whatnot, and the season goes to pot. The Texans aren't going anywhere, probably not at least. The Colts will probably get their quarterback back this year. They're going to be probably better. You know, once the Titans get things figured out, I think you've got a year or two with them. So, like, if Lawrence goes down, what happens to this team? Because Gabe Davis, if he doesn't have anyone throwing to him, can't do anything. Devin Duvernay, if he doesn't have anyone throwing to him, can't do anything. I like the picks, but unless you have a general out there on the field, I don't know exactly how much you're gonna get out of this. You know, the AFC is not a division to take lightly.
I think that's true. I think it's interesting, though, that I would tend to say, and I think you would typically agree with me, Derek, that most of these signings are building your team backwards. I really wish that the Jaguars were doing more to invest in their line play on both sides of the ball, instead of going out and getting multiple receivers and multiple people in the secondary. yes, those can be important positions, but I don't think that they've shored up the rest of the positions, which is what makes me hesitant to really buy the Jaguars, despite the fact that they are making a lot of moves here.
The Jaguars, to me, are a feast or famine team. They are either going to be one of the, they're going to be the number two seed, or they're going to be out of the playoffs. Because I think, I love Doug Peterson. I think he's a great coach. I think he has a great culture, and I think he does good things for teams. And I think he's got the Jaguars moving in the right direction. I like the moves that, they generally make. But they seem to be a feast or famine. They're either going to be the best or they're going to be the worst. And we'll see what they are this year.
Well, Derek, let's go ahead and take command of our final section here on the podcast today, because we are going to talk about those Washington Commanders, new ownership, new money, new signings. They have splashed the cash a ton. I don't even know if I have all of their signings on this list, but they have signed tight end Zach Ertz, defensive ends and Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler, both from the Cowboys. Center Tyler Biadasz, also from the Cowboys. Linebacker Frankie Louvu, Marcus Mariota, the quarterback. Offensive guard Nick Allegretti. Kicker Brandon McManus. Running back Austin Eckler. And I was double checking some of these here. They also have safety Jeremy Chinn, a former first round pick, and defensive end Clelin Ferrell. They're trying to update a lot of this roster in a hurry. What do you think as far as where the Commanders are going here, Derek?
Okay, so the main thing for me is we are seeing that they are definitely taking a quarterback at two, and they're probably doing their very best to get Daniels from LSU. Like, whenever you have a, you're trying to match your backup quarterback to your starting quarterback so that there's not a whole lot of drop off. Like, if you got a runner, you want to have a runner as your backup. If you have a, a pocket passer, you're generally going to have a pocket passer. Look at the 49ers last year, Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold. One's more talented and wins games, but there's not a whole lot of drop off for Sam Darnold in that offense. We're seeing Marcus Mariota there. He has been a type like Daniels, Jalen Daniels from LSU. So, the writing's kind of on the wall. Bears are taking Caleb Williams. Then you have Daniels, and then you have, I assume Drake May going to the Patriots. This is a, we're going to flip the table over and see what stays for the Commanders. We're just going to sign everybody. We got a brand new coach. We got new management, in there. We're going to see if we can be a brand new Commanders. We're not going to talk about the previous years. And someone new has to win the NFC East because we can't have back-to-back winners of that division, saying that the Giants probably aren't going to do it. So, we don't want the Cowboys and the Eagles to be the only two in that division winner circle. So we're just going to throw everything we can at the wall and see what sticks.
It's very true. I think it's just a lot of signings, a lot of interest. I do kind of love the fact that Quinn is bringing over some guys he already has some familiarity with that were maybe a bit underrated at Dallas. One, kind of like I said earlier, you're bringing in people from your division rival. Two, you're bringing in people that know your system. And so I just think that that's smart moves. I also love, everyone's talked about Mariota being a high character guy and a very respectful guy. If you're bringing him in to be a mentor, a locker room guy, to help bring Jaden Daniels up to speed, smart move. Like, just classy move to do that. And let's face it, you've got to find ways to with Cliff Kingsbury get more time to throw the ball. Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Jahan Dotson, they've got to be able to stretch the field more than they have. And Kingsbury's going to want that. And so what do? You upgrade that interior of your line. Guard, Nick Allegretti, let's face it, he played in the Super Bowl. He played through, I think they said he tore his pec in the Super Bowl or something like that, and he kept playing. That's awesome for him. Like, that's gutsy. And now he's going to the Commanders. He got paid, and I'm happy for him that he got paid. You know, getting a center from Dallas. Again, it's someone that Quinn would have seen in practice a lot, knows probably how to call protections well, and is going to help out a young quarterback. Like, lots of what I would tend to say are just smart moves, and probably similar to my comment about the Jaguars. Where are they building? It's mostly been on the line and on the defensive line. Like, the Commanders are taking it to the basics and not spending a ton of money on the outside things. Yes, they have Eckler. I think that, you know, he's going to be a good character veteran guy in that locker room too. Same with Zach Ertz. Like, you're getting a lot of respectable people to come to your team. And let's face it, if there's one thing that the Commanders have not gotten a lot in the last few years, it's respect. So I at least like what they are attempting.
Yeah, I do like the Eckler and Ertz signing. I mean, you do have some veteran leadership there. I think Eckler, you know, with having a new center and having a new guard, you know, what if he actually, what if he actually has a good year? That's kind of weird.
I mean, and we all know that he's dynamic in the backfield and catching the ball as well. So I think that it's just, again, you can check down to Eckler, you can check down to Ertz. You're making it really easy for your new quarterback to have a system that he can learn and be able to use those checkdowns with players that have veteran experience.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you.
Well, that is really all that we have for this episode of Brody Sports Talk. We appreciate you all taking your time to listen to us as part of your day. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And also, we're going to be getting ready to start some of our draft previews with quarterbacks coming up next week. I know that everyone's going to want to tune into that. And help Derek figure out what team he wants to root for next, as we have some Brody March Madness coming up on our Twitter account, which is at BRODIETALK. You can find us there on the platform currently known as X, but everyone still calls it Twitter. So on behalf of my fantastic co-host, Captain Orange, a.k.a. Derek, my name is Caleb Walgren. Thank you for listening to this wonderful free agency filled episode of Brody Sports Talk. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.